Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and welcome to another episode of Buzzing About Romance. Today we're diving into the melodious exploration of the often overlooked yet utterly enchanting element in romance novels, the playlist. Joining for this episode are our co-hosts Amanda, Jenny, and Heather. Together, we'll unravel the magic behind the song that authors carefully weave into the fabric of their love stories. From setting the tone to inspiring pivotal scenes, these playlists hold the power to elevate our reading experience. Whether it's a soundtrack that mirrors the character's emotions, or a collection of songs that embodies the essence of the narrative, we're about to embark on a musical journey through the world of romance. So grab your headphones, get cozy, and let's delve into the symphony of love found in every note. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
That's quite an intro, man.
Did you like that?
Yeah.
Did that make you happy?
Heck yeah.
Okay. I do not have a romance term of the week. I don't know. Does anyone have a term they need to find?
Mm-mm.
No.
No.
I don't have one either. So we can skip that and dive headfirst into the heart of today's episode. Let's explore how this term we've just... Oh, I didn't discuss a term. See, I wrote this thinking one of you would have a term, and I didn't have a term. Anyway, we're going to talk about music, playlists and books, and whether we like them, whether we could give or take them, how music plays into our reading experience. We'll talk about what books have some of our favorite playlists and whether or not playlists are even your thing, because I'm the odd man out tonight. I don't do playlists at all.
That's
okay. So throughout the evening, these wonderful co-hosts will be dropping authors and playlists for you to add to your own personal playlist. So first up, what are your overall thoughts on the role of playlist in romance novels? How has this element enhanced your appreciation of the genre? Do you like playlists in your books?
Yes, I do.
No.
Heather's a no.
I can't listen to them while I'm playing, like reading. Like,
oh, no, I don't do that either.
I don't either.
But so then when do you listen to the songs? Because that's what I'm curious about, because like, and I have big thoughts about other aspects of the music into the stories, but like the author feels these songs are part of the narrative of their book. And when I read, I like the silence. I don't want to be talked to. I don't need noise in the background, because quiet is a finite element in my house. Nobody is ever quiet around here. And quiet is limited. You know, it's only so many certain windows of quietness. Like if you're reading along a book, especially ones where like the authors will put the song at the top of the chapter, do you go looking at that song to see how it plays into that chapter?
I mean, I don't know if I read any that do the song at the top of the chapter. Maybe, but I generally will look at it like ahead of time and see if I recognize any of the songs. And then maybe while I'm reading, I'll look some of them up to see like maybe what they go with.
Yeah.
But I don't listen while I read.
If I come across it or whatever, I'll look it up. And then I have my own playlist that I add music that are in books. And then I just add it to that.
Okay. What about you, Jenny?
Usually like if it's in the front, like I'll give it a glance, kind of see which songs I know. And I think it gives like an overall feel of what the book might entail, but I don't usually like go looking up songs that I don't know unless they're like explicitly labeled in within the book.
Okay, so that's another piece a little bit too. Do you think that the songs that are on these playlists influence your reading experience? For example, like you will go, if they mention a song, let's say they're dancing in a club and they mention that they dance to that song, and do you go and look it up then at that moment? Does it influence then the vibe for you in that book at that moment?
For me, it does. If like, yeah, it's a pivotal like thing in the book, like if it's just like briefly mentioned, usually like you'll hear like an artist name drop and then like it kind of alludes to what the song is. But yeah, if they give a title and a track, like yeah, I'll usually go look it up.
What about you, Amanda?
If it's in the book, yeah, I'll usually go look it up. I don't remember the last time I had one that I didn't know. A lot of them have been stuff that I know. So, and I think especially if it's one that I know, that it will maybe enhance or influence, because I did. So book club read this month, there's a song that gets dropped in that book. And I had just listened to that song, and it fits very well with that book. And
so what's the song? You can say,
I don't know if you want me to spoil it. Okay.
No, yeah, spoil it. What's the song? And you can say the title of the book.
Okay. So it's, what's the third? What is it? It's what's the third one?
What saves us? What saves us?
What saves us? I keep saying the wrong one. So we do too. I read all three at once.
Yeah.
So, but when he's, when Shane is singing to Kat, he sings Broken Halos by Chris Stapleton. And I was just like, that's perfect. Like, it's a perfect song for that book. Like, she doesn't have a playlist or whatever, but just kind of drops that song. And I was like, that's perfect. And it enhanced that scene for me.
Okay. So it just adds a little bit extra to that scene. So I can remember reading a Katie Evans book. I think it's one of her man whore books. And there is a Vegas wedding. And again, these books are a little older. So we're talking like 2016, I think, is when this one is published. And the song that is mentioned in that book is A Thousand Years, which is the Twilight song. And I remember thinking, isn't that the Twilight song? Why is the fucking Twilight song in a book from 2016 for grownups? Because Twilight's not for grownups. Because
everybody used it at their wedding.
Okay, but also that song, I can't tell you how many times I come across a playlist that song is listed.
I like that song.
It's fine to like that song, but like, come on. I don't know. And
I also read Twilight as an adult, so.
Okay. So did I.
Same.
It's not a book for grownups, guys.
Well,
it's not even well written.
I'm not a grown-up.
Well, I was a grown-up when it came out, kind of, so.
Yeah, I was too.
You know, aging myself and all, but.
My favorite Sawyer Bennett book. Okay, I have two. Read. He gives her an iPod, which is so funny because obviously we don't have iPods. And he made a playlist for her, and he put Meant to Be, like Florida Georgia. And I love that song to this day. Every time it comes on, I always think about Reed and his Dr. Barbie.
That is so cute.
Do you think that there are certain authors that are more likely to put music in their books than others? Like, it's more of a creative aspect for them, that the music for them goes hand in hand with their writing experience?
I have authors on my list that really love music or are musicians as well as writers, and write their own music to go with the books. And some of those authors are my trusted authors, so I will venture out, like, if they like this music, I'm probably gonna like this music.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask a question. It might take a beating. Here we go. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of for Heather because she is an audiobook listener, but she doesn't really listen to Rockstar Romance. So maybe it's not. Yes. So there is a little bit. So Lauren Rowe did this with her audiobooks where people actually sing music she wrote for the book. And in Britt Benson's latest one, Between Never and Forever, they sing the original lyrics that Britt wrote into that book. They perform it and sing it. Is that different than a playlist? I think Allie Styles does that too in her audiobooks.
Right. Yes, she does.
So,
and she's a trained musician, so like it's not like she's just
right. But how do you feel about audio singing performances in your audiobooks?
I've never heard one, so I guess I would have to maybe like listen to one or two.
Well, and in like Lauren Rose books, she'll have actual YouTube links that you can, if like you're reading on your iPad, you can click over and watch the video and listen to the song.
I did that with hers.
Did you do that?
Yeah, I did with Swoon.
So what did you think about that?
I didn't mind it because it's similar to me going to look up a song when I'm reading. So because I wasn't actually, you know, I wasn't listening to the audio, but yeah, I was interested. I think I did. I think I finished the book and then went back and did it just to kind of check it out. I mean, it was,
yeah,
it was interesting. I mean, it's,
I think that's how I did it as well. Cause I read on my Kindle. So I have to go over to my phone, open the Kindle, click the link.
Yeah.
Same.
So I liked it when Lauren Rowe did it. I really liked it, but I did listen to the audio of Between Never and Forever and I didn't love it over there. It didn't work for me, but I really liked that story. And I felt like the singing was a distraction. It didn't, to me, it didn't enhance the story.
Yeah, I would have to listen to it like in the middle of a book. I've never listened to one where they did that.
Like they just jump into the song.
Yeah.
Okay. Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It just, it's kind of one of those like, huh. And it's interesting because authors you wouldn't necessarily think are music are such a big deal. They do rely heavily on music to influence the vibe of their books. To help set tone, which I thought, which I find interesting. Like Katie Evans, she uses music a lot to set her tones. The latest Jenna Hartley, Reputation, you know, every chapter is a Taylor Swift song. But we'll talk about that later because, well, that comes up actually because I did a very unscientific poll. Survey over on our Instagram stories today, and it was very interesting. What's your favorite romance novel with a memorable playlist, and how did the songs enhance your reading experience? Do you have an all-time top favorite book with a playlist in it?
I do.
Go for it. Shout it out.
It's The Broken One by Brittany Shaheen. So she shares typically while she's writing, she'll share what her playlist is like going into the book. And that's probably my most anticipated read from her ever. It came out in, I think, January 2021, I believe, or 2022. I can't remember. But anyway, it was, so she teased it out. It was a big book for me. The book had like a lot of feels and I don't know. There was something like every song on that list. Like I don't listen on Spotify. I listen on Apple Music. So because I get it for free. So that's where I listen to stuff. So I'll check out a Spotify list or I'll check out a list at the front of a book and then I will recreate it in Apple to listen to it.
Yeah.
So I had that playlist like on my created. I listened to it before the book came out. I listened to it after it came out. I still have those songs, the majority of them, on a playlist that I listen to a lot.
Okay.
So it was, I don't know. It was, I think it was just a very anticipated book for me and it hit me in a lot of different feelings. And a lot of the songs were new to me, which doesn't typically happen a lot. Like I usually like know a few of them and connect, but it was some familiar artists and like I don't know. I love that playlist.
You love that playlist and that song.
But yeah, I think it was Wrecked by Imagine Dragons. It was the first time I ever heard that song. And like, I still listen to it all the time. And it's, it like perfectly encapsulates like the damage that these two go through trying to be together. So
What about you, Jenny? Do you have a favorite romance novel with a memorable playlist?
Kelsey Kingsley, like most of the time, her playlists align pretty much with what I normally listen to, and Warrior Blue is probably my favorite book from her, so that would be my favorite. Dermot Kennedy, he uses him a lot, and he is like one of my absolute favorites.
What about you, Heather?
I don't like, I go through playlists when I see them, and then if I like a song, I'll put it on my playlist. So I have a few, like I Hate You, I Love You. That was it was like a college romance book that was really great. I loved that one. Megan Quinn actually had one in her book. It's called Fallen, and it is a really beautiful song. And every time I listen to it, I have it, like, so I think one, I have my own playlist. And then when these songs come up, I like remember the book. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But not whole playlists. And I also struggle to listen to a whole song all the
No, I
way
think
through.
that's fair.
My attention span is like that of a gnat.
No, I think that's fair. So I did ask over in our very unscientific Instagram poll, and I responses I got was Maybe Once, Maybe Twice by Alison Greenberg, Little Lies by Helena Hunting, Cooper by Lulu Moore, which I know is on your list, Amanda.
I have it coming up for another question you're going to
Okay.
ask.
And then Amanda Richardson, apparently her books have really great playlists in them.
Yeah, and I forgot all about it until you said that.
And Hazel Jack's Fire Island books apparently also have really great playlists. But this brings up a question because Heather or Jenny said she really like it's an artist that she likes. Tends this author tends to use, so that really helps her experience. But there is a downfall to these playlists and these popular music references in books, right? Because if somebody doesn't vibe with that style of music, or someone doesn't like that specific author or artist, because like Mariah Carey, she is an artist for me that I do not like. Like, if I hear her Christmas song even once in a Christmas season, somebody needs to die. Like, I think elves and reindeer die every time that song plays. I'd rather hear the one that's Whamageddon. I'd rather hear that 7,000 times
Come on, Becky. I like Wham.
than Mariah Carey. Like, I just, so if you use an artist, especially like right now, so I asked another question over on Instagram about what is like a popular artist that we often see used in novels and in playlists right now. And of course, like I more than half of the answers were T Taylor Swift, and lots of responses were, and it's overdone. But if you have someone that's not really into that style of music or is not a fan of hers, you potentially just ruined that book for that reader.
Yeah, but I think too, like, I don't listen to every playlist. So if
Right.
I look at a playlist and I don't necessarily vibe with the songs on it, I just skip it. Like, I just don't, like, I don't, like, look at it in relation to the book at all.
Yeah.
Same.
Well, until you accidentally pick up a book like an Elizabeth Morgan or the latest Jenna Hartley that is a pure dedication to their love of a certain music
Yeah, and
artist.
I think that's different than a playlist though. That's like the dropping it inside the book, right?
Well, but it was a full
Oh, they gave
playlist
it
in
a
the
full playlist
both of
before?
them
Okay.
have both have playlists in the fronts of those books.
Okay, I got you.
So it and most people, 'cause so I did ask, you know, how do you feel about popular songs being referenced in books? And more than half the people said they don't mind it. They like it. And about 40% said no, they don't like it. Because I think it becomes a little bit of a sticky wicket because music is very personal.
It
And
is.
you know, you love that song Halo by Christopher Stapleton, by Chris Stapleton. I don't even know the guy's name. But what if I hate that song? What if I have a horrible memory attached to that song? Then potentially you just ruined that book, or the author did, for my reading experience.
Yeah, I mean, and then you know, it depends on how maybe that's personal to the author.
Right.
You know, like, so.
It just becomes a little bit of a sticky wicket is all. Like,
no, I agree.
I'm just too much passive, but I'm like, meh, if I don't like it, I don't like it. Like, I'll just like ignore it.
Well, I DNF'd the Jenna Hartley book because it was too much Taylor Swift. The Brooke Morgan, the book, Come Here.
Oh, Montgomery.
Or Brooke Montgomery. Yeah. That book Lindsay and I did a quick shot on. Like, the horse's name was Taylor Allison Swift. And every time they talked about the horse, it was Taylor Allison Swift. And the whole playlist was nothing but that. And it's like, ugh. But also Beyonce was another name that came up that is sometimes overused.
Well, and there's a difference between, like, I mean, one song being referenced to, like, everything. All the way throughout. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess, like, if I didn't like somebody, I'd be like, I'm not going to listen to that.
Well, how else? So when we think about playlists, what all could they influence within the book outside of your reading response, right? So, you know, do they enhance character development? Do you think playlists enhance character development?
I actually just more like when they bring up a song. So like maybe he's kind of like really likes 80s music or something, and they're in the car, and then like she brings up like, oh, what's this song? And then I look that up and I'm like, I've never heard that. Like, it kind of makes me get to know their personality a little bit more.
Yeah. Do you think a music choice enhances the writing of a book?
I think it can for some authors, because I follow some authors that, like Nikki Castle, like you can see when she writes a book, like she sits down and she'll take a video of like her writing like setup. So she likes, like she sets up candles and she sets up her space and she like sets up music. And I've seen like several authors do that. And I think, I don't know, you know, obviously I'm not in their brain or anything, but I feel like if they're very driven by music. Like, I like to listen to music. Like, I can't work out if I'm not listening to music. Like, I listen to music in the shower. Like, I listen to music when I'm driving, if I'm not, you know, listening to like an audiobook or something. So I don't know. I think it, maybe if it just helps drive your focus.
Yeah. Do you think it can set the tone of the book? Like, a specific playlist can set the tone, help the ebb and flow of the tone of the book?
I think it can, like, you know, but that's what I said though. Like, if I don't necessarily vibe with a playlist, then I just don't listen to it. So I think it maybe just depends on my mood. Like, if I'm, if I look at something and I'm like, oh yeah, this really works for me, and it kind of sets me into how it's going to be.
Yeah.
I think they can set the mood of the book, sort of like these people are very moody, or like there's like angst. I mean, like, I think if you think about a soundtrack, if you're watching a movie, a soundtrack can kind of make you feel things. And so it kind of makes you feel like, is it angsty? Is it less angsty? Is it more fun? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no.
I think it can build the anticipation for a book. Like Amanda was saying, she had the playlist before the book. So you listen to it before and you kind of get the feel and emotions of the book before kinda you read it.
Like, maybe helps prep you, get you into the same headspace a little bit.
Yeah.
For the book. Do you
think Ashley James put one out for her, like coming up, her Dirt Road Secrets, and it's kind of like very cowboy and country. Yeah. And
which is interesting, because you know, just because you read cowboy romances, you might not be a cowboy or a country music listener.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so that can create, that could one help create the setting, but also again with the disconnect, it could, like, and not every cowboy listens to country music. Some of them might
True.
be like secret 80s hair band rockers. We don't know. Do you think that there are certain artists or type of music that lends itself more to the romance books than others? Like, obviously, you are not going to listen to Smashing Pumpkins and think romance, right? Nine Inch Nails is not screaming
No,
romance.
well, I'll disagree with the Nine Inch Nails
Okay.
because
Who uses Nine Inch Nails in there?
they don't use it, but there's in Savar Miller's like King's Trace in her that series, there's a book, the second book, which is Sweet Solitude. And Nine Inch Nails, The Hand That Feeds is like it loops on my brain
Okay.
when I read that book. It's
Okay.
bonkers, but
I
it
just don't think
works.
anybody's using like Rage Against the Machine to set the mood.
Yeah, no. I mean, it was a mood. It was definitely a mood, but probably not one you would necessarily associate with romance.
I could see Dante by Sadie Kincaid maybe having some rage when he's like shooting people.
Yeah, I mean, see, it can work in
Oh.
certain situations.
But it's not necessarily the first type of music I think about when I think about the romance genre.
But I was actually, so I now like in your posts that you can have music on Instagram. I really love that. So I will make notes when I'm reading a book about a song that's in there or whatever. And I'm a girl who likes some dark romance. I don't have triggers, but there aren't a lot of really great songs that make you feel like that kind of have that dark romance kind of feel, right?
Yeah.
They're hard to find.
They are hard to find. Well, okay. So, this is something that's interesting because I really liked how this was done. So, I want to talk about this. In the case of book to screen adaptations, how important is it to maintain the essence of a book's playlist? And do you think it contributes to the overall success of the adaptation? But I'm actually going to flip it on its head a little bit. Think about Bridgerton on Netflix. They turned popular music into orchestra pieces
Was
for
amazing.
Bridgertons. It was amazing. What was the Adam Levine, the Maroon 5 song that they did in Bridgerton? And it was like they danced a quadrille to it. And you're like, wait, that's Maroon 5. That's not a like waltz. I think as long as they, like in a movie, like you said, movies, soundtracks, but when you're going from like a book to a movie, as long as they keep the essence of the book with the music choices they use for the soundtrack, I think it works. Because that Bridgerton soundtrack was phenomenal. And it
I don't
worked
know.
so well.
I didn't watch that, so I don't know. But
I'm sorry,
I
what?
couldn't think of any other ones. I know. I know.
Well,
I
and
know.
someone
What?
brought up that fantasy authors oftentimes will use movie soundtracks like Lord of the Rings and Gladiator
Oh, that makes sense.
as they are writing as inspiration. Because really, if a John Williams Star Wars overture comes on while you're writing alien romance, it kind of sets the mood, right?
For sure.
If I'm writing a Kraken book, maybe I should be listening to Jaws. Do you know what I mean? Like, it fits. Don't you think? Have you ever noticed when an author will use a song to evoke a sense of nostalgia, either for the character or the readers? So I bring this question up because of this. There was an age gap romance that I was reading. It was a dad's best friend. And I can't think of what the book was, but he was listening to a song from like the 90s, which I knew. And she's like, "Oh, who is this band? I've never heard them before." And he's like, "Uh-oh. Okay." Awkward.
I read that too. What book was
Was
that?
that in
Because I was like,
your dad
what?
will do or Maybe it was in Gorgeous Monster by Charity Farrell.
There was another one recently too that I read, and I can't think of it. But yeah, it was a similar situation.
I like when they use music to help kind of define the, like, the age gap or the maturity difference, you know? And as long as the music that either one is picking is kind of appropriate for their generation, then that makes sense. You know, if the hero is listening to Louis Armstrong and he's only supposed to be 35, make it make sense. Like,
I actually have a character.
No, who's your character? Go for it.
For Kelsey Kinkley again, she has an age gap where he is like, I can't remember his name, but he is super young. Searching for Hemingway is the title of the book. I believe that's the title. And yeah, he's super young, she's older, and that's part of their bond, is like their love for older music.
Okay, that can make sense. Go ahead.
I think if they have old souls, like, they're, you sometimes read a character and you think like they have an old soul and they will like older, you know, music. Like, my 17-year-old loves 80s like music. He listens to the same thing that my husband does. And I'm like boy band, Taylor Swift, New Kids on the Block kind of gal.
Yeah.
So maybe it kind of is their personality too, you know, like they're kind of quirky. Like, I think about Violet, or not Violet. Oh my God, Lavender. She would be like the type that I would think that would listen to all the like Broadway musical shows.
Yeah.
Music. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, there was a song, or there was a book recently. It was a single dad nanny romance, and the kids were obsessed with the soundtrack from Trolls. And it was like Justin Timberlake and all of this stuff. And the dad hated it. Like, he was like, you don't have to. And she's like, no, I love it. Like, I'm singing it with them. And I'm like, okay, that fits. I think that I read a romance a while ago.
Oh, I think that was the Tia Louise one.
Was that the Tia Louise one?
I think so. A Little Twist.
Maybe. Yes, it might be that
one. I think
one.
So.
But there was another one recently I read where, like, he has to put the Kiggs Bops version of the song on because the nanny was listening to the adult version and the kids started singing it. And he's like, we need to switch that up so they could listen to the Kiggs Bop version. And I like that because it's funny, right? Like, it becomes situational at that point. But then there are other times where a song will be pivotal to a scene, and I don't recognize it. Like, I don't know it. And it talks about, like, how the beat pulsed, especially, like, when we're talking about, like, kinkier romances, BDSM. I think a lot of kinky BDSM romances have playlists. Like, if you think of 50 Shades of Grey, he would put, like, his iPod in the dock before they started their stuff. So like, there is essence where the music is used to set the mood, but sometimes it's just like, you know, deep beats and rhythms and not necessarily music, like popular music. And I don't know that that pulls me in if I'm reading it. Like, in a movie it makes sense, but if I'm reading it and they mention like this is a primal primitive instrumental drum music and you go to listen to it and you're like, what? This didn't work for me.
Is that kind of like the visual thing, you know, like with the Apple, like 1 to 5?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, like
maybe
because it works 1 to 5.
Yeah, same for me. Like, I'm fully immersed.
So I wonder if this comes down to like the difference between visual learners and audio learners.
But I don't know though, because I'm very visual.
Yeah.
Like the Apple is fully formed for me, but like, I'm also in music, I'm very audio, but like for learning, like I don't like retain like audiobooks or like if somebody's telling me something, like I have to write it down for me to remember it, but I'm very into music.
Which is really interesting because I fully visual, but I don't hear, the music is distracting for me. I cannot read and listen to music at the same time.
I can't either.
It doesn't work for me.
Yeah, like if I'm listening to music while I'm reading, it's more to block out other noise. Like I just, my brain just kind of like shuts it off as background.
My other problem is, so I love musicals and I love musical theater. So like when I listen to music, I listen to musical theater songs, right? Because I'm weird like that. So if I'm listening to a song while I'm doing dishes, I start singing, like belting out the ballad, and then forget to do the dishes.
Well, and they're like, the music is telling the story, right?
Right. Right. So I, you know, like I, music is distracting at times for me.
Well,
yeah, I can see that.
I, Candy Steiner was doing like how she writes, and she uses Brain FM, and I use Brain FM.
I use it after you told me about it.
And I use focus music. So I put my headphones in and I do focus music on YouTube or something. But then if I have boys and they're never quiet, ever, I listen to like a coffee shop scene where it's just jazz music or the ocean waves. And then I turn it up and then everything kind of drowns out.
Yeah.
And I listen to that while I read.
I started wearing headphones when I work so that people will know I'm working and not just sitting at my desk looking pretty. Cause you know, I mean, I do that. But really there's nothing playing. I just am using it as a visual for the rest of the people that live in this place to leave me alone.
You're outing yourself.
Cause if I start, oh, they know it's supposed to be a sign to go away. But if I put noise in there, then again, I'm distracted, which is part of the reason that I stopped having to work from coffee shops. Because then I get distracted and I start people watching and, you know, thinking about the muffin or the cup of coffee I want.
I wonder if you listen to like music that is supposed to like put focus, like it's designed for people with ADD or ADHD.
Maybe.
It's like the beats per minute.
Yeah.
Telling you. I get more done.
Chilled Cow is my favorite.
What is it?
Send that to me.
Chilled Cow.
Chilled Cow.
On YouTube.
Okay. So do you prefer to see the playlist released with the book, after reading it, or before the book? How does the timing of the playlist release impact your reading experience? So Amanda shared a little bit about like Brittany Sahin's that you kind of got little samplings going in.
Yeah, I like it before because it'll give me a chance to get a mood for how they're feeling for the book.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's how I prefer it. Like,
what about you, Jenny? Do you have a preference?
I would say before or when the book's released. Like, maybe if I haven't read the book yet and then the playlist comes out, that would be fine. But like afterwards, I'm probably not going to go back to it if I've already read the book.
What about you, Heather?
I think it has to be an author that I really, really like and that I'm anticipating this book for me to get into the playlist.
That's fair.
I feel like I'm super distractible and I think maybe the music could distract me versus keep me focused on the actual book.
Have you ever known an instance where readers have contributed to the playlist, creating a collaborative experience between the author and the reader?
I don't know if it was necessarily like collaborative, but I had mentioned like Savar Miller, and she does in her Facebook group, like she'll talk about like what she's listening to, like to get ready for a book. And I know that a lot of her readers will throw out songs that kind of remind them of her work, and she has a couple of artists that she listens to like a lot, and I think they kind of like they talk in the group, and I think maybe sometimes she uses suggestions from there, but I don't know of a complete like collaboration like that anywhere.
So I think a crowdsourced playlist for a book would be fun.
Yeah, I do too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if an author said, okay, you guys, this is kind of the vibe, you know, enemies to lovers, hiding secrets, you know, long-standing feud, off the charts chemistry, what songs would scream to you, or, you know, an age gap, he is still feeling the 90s vibe of life. And she is, you know, really in her T-Swift era or something, you know, like what are some of the songs that would be, you know, different but similar to help with those shared experiences? I think that would be incredibly engaging and it would make you more excited for that book.
Yeah, I mean, I would get into it.
I would too.
Because again, you know, like we have been doing, and it stretched on a little longer than I think we planned originally, but we've been doing this plot a book with Sawyer Bennett and it's been really fun. And we're just getting back into it this next week. And I'm kind of excited about it. Like we've built these characters together and like we know things, but I can't wait to read the whole book, like how she takes all of our different ideas and how they're going to, you know, assemble. So again, if we can give an author a song that maybe inspired a scene in a book, I think that would just add to the excitement of that book.
So in that vein, when I was reading the first two books in Marie Johnston's new series and her Oil Knight series, so we were leading up to Wilder and Sutton. Like I had a playlist in my brain for songs that reminded me of them before I ever got to that book. And she doesn't do playlists.
No.
But I have one. So...
You should share that with me. I love them.
So it was...
Did you share it with her?
No.
You should.
Because it was... Well, I don't know. She didn't do playlists, but I...
but it might be a situation... Okay, so let me tell you, especially when it comes really to any of the majority of the authors that we read. If you share something like that with them... They would love that because it might be a situation for someone like Marie. She's a single woman show. She doesn't have time to focus on a playlist. She also has like children and a spouse and life. And so it gets hard and you can't. So sometimes you have to give up certain things.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
But if you said, okay, listen, in my lead up to reading Sutton's book, I created this playlist with the vibes that I have going for this series. I wanted to share it with you. She, I think, would be incredibly responsive and excited about that.
Oh, 1,000%.
But then I feel like I'm bothering her, but yeah, okay.
No, you are so not bothering her. She's probably listening to this right now, washing her hair and like yelling and freaking out. So Marie, if you are listening, make sure you message us and let us know that Amanda should share this out with you.
Yes, I did. Yeah, I had serious, like a hard time. Like I posted my like Instagram review of her book and I was like, it was like Sophie's choice picking which song I was going to put on there.
I'm going to need the playlist for sure.
I'll have to go back and look because I don't know if I saved it. So, but I know most of it.
Yeah, but okay. I think that a majority of the authors, like, so Avery Flynn, her book Anger Bang, it takes place at an 80s destination reality TV wedding. Like,
I just listened to that quick shot today.
And it was so funny, but seriously, like, I was thinking of all the like Debbie Gibson when they're in like, I think we're alone now. Like that song.
That's Tiffany, like, yes. I think.
Is that Tiffany?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yes.
Well, anyway.
Boy band girl here. Okay.
Well, Tiffany then. But all I was thinking is like, there's a moment where they're like hiding in a shed away from the different reality people. And I was like, that song, like 80s song kept playing in my head. I sent it to Avery. I was like, Avery, seriously, this is like, I think we're alone now. And she's like, you're not wrong. She goes, I should add that. So, I mean, it, because do you have moments like that when you're reading a book and you're like, okay, this song speaks to this moment?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
I often think of Jana Aston's books, the song She's a Killer. Because so many of her heroines are like super like aggressive femme fatales.
Mm.
And so like that song really works for them.
Nice.
Okay. Go ahead, Heather. What were you going to say? Did you have something?
There's one book that isn't a romance that I talk about all the time that may be coming out with a movie. There's like a serious following and some people put together like a movie or like a playlist on YouTube for the idea of you, And it is simply amazing. Like, amazing. So,
Oh, that's
you should
cool.
check it out.
Okay, do you have a song or a romance novel that was featured in a playlist that was really unconventional and unexpected song choice that surprisingly worked well with the story?
Unexpected?
Yeah,
No, I don't think
that's
I have
a
any
hard
unexpected
question.
ones.
Like, have
I
you
don't
ever
know.
come across a song and thought, really? That's the song you're going to use for this book? And then you listen to it and you're like, yeah, that song.
No, I have most of the ones I think are ones that just like worked.
Just worked.
I don't think I had any unexpected ones.
Well, for me, it would have been like the Kid Bop song or
Oh, okay. Yeah.
listening Kid Bop.
or the, Trolls soundtrack. That worked. It worked. Okay, what are some of your favorite iconic moments in romance novels where the playlist played a crucial role in the narrative? Do you have an iconic playlist moment?
I think it's probably like when they dance,
Okay.
or like maybe
Like a song at a
they're in
wedding.
the car and they like figure out like they both are like listening to the song and they're like, oh yeah, I'm like really in love with this person.
I always like it when, if, but not really, if I read an epilogue and the, like, it's a unique song to walk down the aisle.
Oh. Yeah, like Kelly Jameson's.
Like Kelly Jameson's, yes.
What's that song?
Because that's in Game Changer, right? That has
Yeah.
the
The fact that you and I don't even have that book memorized is just
there's something
it's
wrong with
shameful.
us. There's something wrong
It's
with us.
sad.
Well, okay, and so that's a really funny playlist moment in the first book in that series. What's it called, Heather? They get married in Vegas, like wake up married, and they're on a road trip
Oh
from
yeah,
Vegas
the
to
that's the
LA.
Wynn
Yeah,
Brothers.
the Wynn Brothers. In that book, they are driving through the desert fighting over what songs are going to play on the radio. Like it's a whole thing. And he hates every song she picks. And he just like slams it shut and like, we're just going to have to sit here in silence. And then she's like, well, let's play 20 questions. And she puts her bare feet up on the dashboard and he is freaking out. Like, I think that's hilarious.
Oh my God, I gotta go back and read that book because God, damn, that whole series is good.
Theo doesn't wear socks, which makes me love him even more.
So I think are we so are we're asking like about how it plays into how the playlist like plays into the book. So that's probably where I would bring up Cooper by Lilla Moore. So like the playlist is part of the story. So Cooper is the main character, he's a hockey player, and Freddie is the female main character. So she's like an interior designer and she lives in England. But her thing is playlists. Like she creates them all the time for herself. She's constantly listening to them or whatever. And they get to be friends. And so she starts like sending him playlists. So he does a bad thing and they have a moment. And his grand gesture is to create a playlist for her, like that encompasses their relationship. So, like the first playlist she sends him is. It's like British bands. So he picks like his favorite from that. And the first one that he sends her is Wonderwall by Oasis. I cannot hear that song like anymore and not like scream in my brain that Freddie is Cooper's Wonderwall. Like legit, like every time I hear that song now, it's like a huge part. And then a different part of it, he's like there's another song. It's like Maggie Rogers. Like leave the light on. And so he goes on to tell her and he's like, I will always leave the light on for you. And I like sobbed. Like I just can't, like, I don't know. That's probably other than Britney's, that's probably my favorite
Your
playlist,
favorite.
but it's like a huge part of the story.
So we're talking before we started. How do you find these playlists for the books? Sometimes authors do print them in the front of the book. Sometimes they're chapter headings, but sometimes they're not anywhere in the books because I went looking today thinking Ophelia Martinez's Industrial November book, which are rock stars, would have like. We know that music was big for those for her, but her playlists are not printed in her books. But where did you find it, Jenny?
On her webpage, there's a tab for all of her playlist.
Yeah. So Amanda, how do you find playlists if it's not just in the book?
Most of the time it's in the book. And a lot of the authors will link like the Spotify link.
Yeah.
In the, so I'll pull it up on the phone or whatever. Like I, even the Lauren Rowe stuff, like the YouTube links and stuff like that. A lot of times I get it in their like reader groups in Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like if they're doing it like that.
Their newsletter sometimes has.
Oh too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. But yeah, I didn't know about the, I didn't think about the website because I totally thought Ophelia had playlists too.
I mean, can you, so I'm not good at Spotify and I know Amanda's on Apple Music. I'm on Amazon Music.
I'm using Google Play.
And Jenny's using Google Play. Who uses Spotify? And can you just search the author's name and come up with playlists?
So I use Spotify because it's cost effective with teenagers.
Sure.
Apple Music is not cost effective and apparently they don't. I think why probably kids and maybe other people really like it is I think you can share out, right?
Right.
And I think you can collab or whatever. So like my son Owen has a playlist with all of his hockey friends. So I think that's why. So I use Spotify.
Okay. But now, do you search authors' names and come up with playlists then?
Yes. Sometimes they come up and sometimes they don't. So like I have tried to look up Lulu Moore's just now and I couldn't find hers. But I have Ashley James. I know Jessica Peterson also has playlists on Spotify. The thing with Spotify is I think it's like almost like a QR code. So like you can scan it and then it pulls it up.
Well, and it's, I guess you can follow authors, but they have to set a public profile. So it has to be a searchable profile.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
And if you aren't a Spotify person, you have to pay to get the full playlist. Freebies are just bits of the song sometimes.
Usually, like in my experience.
That's not been my experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you click the link and you just can't. You can't select which songs you want to listen to. You just have to listen to them in the order they are.
And I know Brittany Shaheen puts like a note at the bottom of hers. So she'll print hers in there and she'll link to the Spotify. But she puts like a disclaimer and says that Spotify will add songs too that they think would go on it. So I don't know if it's because she, you know, if she shares it out publicly or whatever. But Spotify will actually add music to it that may not necessarily be on there.
Interesting.
So I think anyone can get a Spotify account or whatever.
Yeah.
But it has ads.
Right. The which only... is the same as Pandora. Listen, I survived mixtapes in the 80s and the radio. I was the go girl that knew that could hit play and record at the same time at the like as the DJ was breathing before the music started. I never missed an intro, people.
Totally agree because we just switched over. My youngest was using Amazon. My husband was using Sirius. And I said, no, we're all doing one. And we did Spotify. So we switched over. And then I got some complaining from one of them that said, now I have ads. And I'm like, you're not supposed to because I'm paying, damn it. So.
But I mean, as a kid that survived the playlist or the mixtape era of music. I mean, Casey Kasem and I, we were like this. He's also the voice of, Shaggy, in case you were wondering, Jenny. So that goes to the Mystery Machine.
Okay.
That's funny.
Coming with
That's
us.
So huh? funny.
Just another reason to get a Mystery Machine. Okay.
Yeah, I only use Apple because I get it for free.
Which is fair.
It's YouTube Music, not Google Play anymore. But yeah, we pay for the like premium YouTube so my kids don't watch unrelated ads. And yeah, it's free.
It's fine. Does anybody have any playlists or books they need to mention before we move on to the next thing that they didn't get to?
What are we moving on to? Hold on.
Oh, new segments. We're done talking about playlists because we've been talking playlists for like an hour.
Sorry. I was just making sure I didn't have anything else.
I have a playlist if anyone is that interested. It's like a
you'll share your Spotify QR code thingy for us all to download it.
It's 142 songs in 8 hours. So
that's some commitment.
And I realized when I was moving things around that I'm a big fan of Justin Bieber.
could see that.
That's funny.
I'm apparently a believer, whatever the heck they call it. Like, my husband goes, "How many Justin Bieber songs are we going to listen to in a day?" And I was
That's
like, "Well,
funny.
I actually apparently am a fan."
Does anyone have any other book or playlist they need to talk about before we move on?
The only one that I had that we didn't talk about, and I think you were asking, I don't think we talked about it, but a specific song that goes with a specific scene.
Yeah.
So in Sophie Lark's Brutal Prince, like there's a song in there called Sweet But Psycho. And so she eats a strawberry because he's allergic, and
Yeah.
that's their first kiss. And every time I hear that song, I think about that scene. But it's like, it's perfect. It's
So
absolutely
that's the
perfect.
song that's the alarm for my child's medication on the
Is
weekend.
it?
Yes.
I love it. What
Jenny.
song?
She's a little
It's
bit
called
psycho.
Sweet But Psycho by Ava Max.
Okay. New segment. Can you guess the book? Each week we will share a quote from a recent or popular buzzing about romance read. You have the chance to email us your guess at quotes at buzzingaboutromance.com. We will announce the correct guess on next week's show. Last week, the quote was, "Someone once told me that dreams are temporary longings. You want one thing, and when you ultimately achieve it, your dream morphs into something new, something bigger than anything else you've ever thought possible." Do any of you know what book that was from?
No.
It's from Hold Me Today by Maria Lewis, and Leah picked that quote. This week's quote. This week's quote, and I'm going to give a hint beforehand. This week's quote has been shared in places.
And I know what it is, so that may give you a hint as well.
Has been shared in places. Life hack: surround yourself with women who only want to see you happy and will lift you up and cheer you on like it's their job. Which I thought was appropriate because this is National Women's History Month, and Thursday was International Women's Day. And so I thought we need kind of a girl gang vibe quote this time. So this
Yes.
was Amanda inspired. And I actually feel like I need to read this book now because,
It's so good.
yeah. Okay. It's that time, you guys. Guess what time it is? It's that time. It's time for Book of the Week. Book of the Week time. Jenny, what's your Book of the Week?
Chemistry of the Heart by Emmy Leon. I am like in love with these books, STEM rep, and I actually have a song for the book.
You have a song for the book?
Yes, A Little Bit Yours by J.P. Sachs like is this book to a T.
It is. I love Emmy's books, so I'm so glad you love Emmy's books. And she has a new one coming out on Thursday, so.
Yes, I am all yes. The
Amanda.
overarching like storyline,
And
but
I
you don't
know
really
things,
dig
and I
in.
can't tell you things, but I know things.
For sure. What a brat.
That's mean. We're not name calling.
And you just rub it in, why don't you?
Heather,
Right? It's what
what's your
she
book of the
does.
week?
Reluctantly Royal by Erin Nicholas. Oh my gosh. He is a prince of this little island, and well, and he's slated to be king. He's abdicated, and then he's come back, and he falls in love with this like nerdy farm girl,
She's so
and
nerdy.
so I his swoon like his swoony stuff that he does for her is so adorable. And he's like this big gooey cinnamon roll. And then in the bedroom, he is not. He is a dirty talker and he is like the perfect guy. He's amazing. And I love
It
this book
made me
and
want to go out
every.
and buy like green wellies, like, because
I
that's what
know.
she wears. And then he buys her like, there's cowboy boots involved. It's just so good.
It's so great. I love it.
Yeah, It's a good one. Amanda, what's your book of the week?
Okay, so my book of the week is Dangerous Affair by Riley Edwards. It is book 7 in her Take Back series. It's the final book, and it's Wilson. He's the team leader. And we've been waiting on this book forever. And this was another one, like she used, she does like little work in progress music when she's writing. She'll like post it on Instagram. And I was like, I'm always feral for her books, but this one I was like particularly like ready for it. And it completely like delivers. It pops at like 4%.
I mean,
it's like a
one
night
stand. That's my kind of book.
It is so spicy. They're so freaking hot. There is a scene up against a mirror. There's a scene up against a window. Like it is like, it's hot, and he's a dirty talker, and he's got like serious, like emotional damage from a previous relationship. And she is actually the granddaughter of Mrs. Simpson, who's like she works at the, you know, the romance bookstore, and Atlee is her name. And so it's so good. Just like, I mean, and I had five-star reads this week, and that was by far my favorite.
Okay. This was a good reading week for Amanda.
It was a very good reading week.
My book of the week is Vicious Seduction by Jill Ramsauer. It's the last book in the Byrne Brothers series. And Oren is... Holy crap, you guys. First of all, he's manipulative AF. Like, he is out to get what he wants. But he is hot and spicy.
Yeah.
That book is so spicy.
She teased the next book in the series, or the first book in the new series.
The Moretti.
In her newsletter.
Yeah. If you are not reading Jill Ramsauer, I don't know what you're doing with your life. Get on it, people.
I agree.
Okay. It's time for our Patreon update. Welcome, new Patreon members. Shoot. I forgot to write her name down. I think her name is Susan. It's been a week. I had to pull up the app. Give me a second. Yes, Susan. Susan, welcome to Patreon. We are so excited to have you as a member of our community. And then we have Hive members celebrating anniversaries this month. Gretchen is celebrating 1 year in the Hive. She actually has been in the Hive longer. I don't know, but her anniversary date is March of 2023. So who knows? Two years in the Hive is Tiara, which... If you want bonkers, crazy, if you want someone to read the bonkers and crazy books with you, go to Tiara. She's there for you for those. And then Liz she's just steady. You know, she's just there when we need her. Thank you so much for your continued support of the podcast. We could not do this without our amazing Patreon members. So get ready to be thrilled, because the much anticipated swag packs for March are on their way. And this time we have a fantastic swag pack sponsor authors. Siobhan Davis and Marie Johnston are sponsoring authors. The swag packs are set to make waves around the 10th, and we couldn't be more excited. Actually, I think everybody should start having them like now. This month's swag packs are overflowing with exclusive treasures sponsored by Siobhan and Marie, along with romance-themed stickers and other fun stuff from Buzzing About Romance. Each pack is a celebration of all things love and passion. And guess what? We spread this love globally, so international shipping is on the house. This fantastic perk is a monthly affair with swag packs dispatched around the 10th of every month. If you join our Patreon family after the 10th, don't worry, your inaugural swag pack will be on its way the following month. But wait, there's more. Being a part of our Patreon community unlocks a treasure trove of perks alongside those fabulous swag packs. You also gain access to exclusive episodes, The Enchanting World of Buzzing Book Club, which is coming up this Friday. Keen on staying in the loop with our happenings? Check out our event calendar at bookcaseandcoffee.com/events. Also, if you're over on our website, subscribe to our newsletter. We have upped that, and it is coming out weekly, and we have lots of cool features happening in there. I'm keeping a secret. And Patreon will find out about it first, and then the newsletter will get it a couple days later. So if you want to be in on my secret, make sure you subscribe to the Patreon or subscribe to the newsletter. We have an exciting lineup of gatherings, including happy hours, IG lives, and book clubs waiting for you to join the festivities. Get ready to be swept by the romance and enjoy the perks of being a cherished member of our Patreon community. Cheers to the love, romance, and all things delightful. Okay. Are you ready for this, Jenny? I'm going to give you the outro.
I get the outro?
No, you want to read the outro?
No, oh. I really don't.
Okay, then I'll do it. Okay.
I would, but...
And that concludes our tuneful journey through the pages of romance novels, exploring the enchanting world of Playlist. We hope you enjoyed unraveling the magic behind these carefully chosen songs, each adding a unique melody to the love stories we adore. A special thanks to co-host Amanda, Jenny, and Heather for joining us on this lyrical adventure. As we wrap up, we invite you, our cherished listeners, to share your favorite romance novel playlists or any unforgettable musical moments from your reading experience. Connect with us on social media at Buzzing About Romance and let the love for love stories continue to echo through the chords of your favorite tunes. Until next time, keep those playlists buzzing and heart swooning. Happy reading and happy listening.
Yay.
Did you like that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Everyone, thanks for joining us. Until next time, happy reading, everybody.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.